Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent. Got that rhythm. Have that talent. Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
Come on.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Alafia, greetings. Thank you so very much for joining the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omienka 7 live coming to you this evening at in the evening hour. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our all-new feature show. We are featuring this show, Everything I Ever Wanted to Know, I Learned in Social Studies. Now, we've been talking about human rights. We've been interviewing a couple of people who felt that their human rights was violated. And we've been trying to make you aware of the fact that you cannot have civil rights without having human rights. So today we want to bring that point home again and stress more in depth about your human rights. And we're not just talking to the youth today. We're talking to the general public today about their human rights and how they choose to exercise their human rights and what are they doing in the community to exercise the human rights for all human beings. Now, I hope you still call yourself a human, right? And you're not an alien, because we're not talking about aliens. We're talking about human beings. Okay. Once again, we'd like to say welcome to the teachers. Teachers are going back to school now. They're in their classroom. I hope those social studies teachers are assessing the curriculum and finding out that we don't want to start at the topic of 1865 when we were coming out of slavery. We don't want to just accentuate on the fact that we were indentured servants. We want to talk about the fact that prior to the 1865 year that we were functioning as kings and queens over in Egypt, and we were coming out of dynasties that were sufficient with window panes and toilets in their homes. And we were also about the business of ruling in duality with kings and queens. So we're going to get on to that topic in a minute. We want to let you know our phone lines are open, and our number is 646-478-0270. And we also want to let you know that we do have a chat room. And for those of you who like to chat, come on in and chat. Omi's been inviting you out to be a part of that chat room. For those of you who would like to co-host and be a part of that chat room and affiliate and initiate that room, please do so. I can certainly use your help. Now, let's take our station identification, and we're going to go and take a station identification. Our chat rooms are open. I see that it's open, and Omi is the only one in there now, and we want to get that room filled up because this topic is going to be hot. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you after the commercial break. I'll meet you in the air. Stay tuned.
Just let my lover join you.
Anthony, please, baby.
Welcome back, family. You're in the Care to Read room, and you're with your Omi Inka Zanu. We'd like to welcome all of you newcomers to our room and say Habari Gani to you. And we'd like to say what's up to our old friends. Thank you for following the leader. I do hope that you are continuing to follow the leader and also to get information about what is going on in our fair city. I'm talking to you from the state of Indiana. I'll be featuring some things that are going on right here in Indiana. But before we do that, let's talk about going to the throne of grace and lifting up holy hands to acknowledge our higher self. And you notice I didn't say God, because most people now know that the word God is dog spelled backwards. And we want to use the term higher self. We want to get more conscientious about the terminologies that we use, because the play that's put up on words will definitely give us the way we're treated based on the words we're using. And I'll explain that in a minute. Let's go to the throne of grace. As we grow to the throne of grace, we pour water to the floor because we hollow out that space to sanctify that space so that that area is exclusive, and it is an area that we call our ancestors to, because we need them at a time when there's war everywhere, all around us, even in our neighborhoods. So let's pour water to the ground. And these are some things I've been teaching you for a while now. If you don't have your altar, set up an altar. In times like this, you need to consult with your heroes and sheroes, and you especially need to talk to your personal ancestors about what steps you ought to take in trying to alleviate this stress and this carcinogenic plague that's in our system of a psychosis, I want to call it. And because we are experiencing a situation of psychosis, we're going to need an antidote. We're going to ask the ancestors to intervene today to bring us an antidote for this psychosis that is rampant throughout our country. As we lift up our holy hands, we've poured water to the ground, and we call on our ancestors, and we call on our heroes and sheroes. Call on your personal ancestors, Eli. Call on your personal ancestors that they may pick you up, they may make you strong, and they may encourage you, and they may open the door for you so that the way is plain and clear and that you have assistance. As you call on your personal loved ones, call on Sheikh Zia. Call on Nina Simone. Call on Dr. John Henry Clark. Call on Dr. Carruthers. Call on Joe Lewis. Call on Madam C.J. Walker. Call on them. Call their names today. And as we call their names, we know that they will be present with us to create the greater circle. I want to thank you for going on that faith walk with us. And I want to remind you that it's important that every day that you acknowledge the fact that your ancestors require energy. And they must be fed. And they must be given fluid so that they will be strong, that they can support you. Now, someone asked the question, isn't there something we can do to fight off all of the confusion and the problems that are plaguing our community? And have we been cursed? And is this curse that's coming back upon us, is it a part of a slavery curse? And are we still living out the expectation of our slave masters that slavery is still continuing, even though we might have made democracies and federations, and even we have made treaties and so-called constitutions? Is it true that we still may have to go back and revisit the language, because the language may hold us to catching us back into that docile position of slavery? We want to talk about that today. What is going on with the language of the Constitution? And why doesn't every state require that every student pass the Constitution test? Why is Illinois the only state that accentuates on the fact that everyone must know the Constitution? We the people is not enough. We need to know the whole articles, and we need to know the sections, and we need to be able to quote them, and we need to be able to cite them. And we need to carry our pocket Constitution book around with us, because you never know when your human life may be jeopardized. Now, call in. Somebody call in. I want someone to challenge me today at 646-478-0270. Those in the Facebook room, my five Facebook sections, I'm calling on you to call in, because we want to have a conversation about it. We're not all about doing poetry and music. We are also about trying to accentuate to our communities what we need to do to be conscious and to be literate. We're also trying to show that every one of our communities are working on a conscious program, not a conscious interest objection, but a program in their community. And I want to introduce you to a program that I have been in charge of now for more than 5 years, and that name of it is Project 2019. Some of you may have even saw us on TV introducing Project 2019. It's a movement. Say it with me. It's a movement. It's not just another organization. You join and pay your fees, and then you go to workshops, and then you get a brochure or you get a newsletter. This is an active organization. And we're going to be pressing the point that everyone should be a member of Project 2019 that is an African-American. Now, you still call yourself African-American, right? No. We want to lose the word black and African-American. We're going to call ourselves non-immigrants. And we want to also call ourselves Asiatic people, Nubian, if you want to be proper. But the main thing we want to do is understand that by placing the name black on our name, it disenfranchises us to the letter of the law in the courtroom. If you don't believe it, go out and check the documents of the Constitution and read through it and see how we disenfranchise ourselves to our own rights in the courtroom by virtue of using the word black. That word black means we have blotted ourselves out and we are dehumanizing ourselves and we do not have a soul, and that we're acting in the reptilian stage of the lower level of our extremity and not at the spiritual level where we climb the ladder, as Dr. Rhonda Neffer would say, to the letter of the number of zero, where we are fully spiritual and we are out of our flesh and we're now into spirit. You're going to have to take a lesson in Rhonda Neffer's training under Metanetra 1, Metanetra 2, and now Metanetra 7 and 8. Those books are definitely books that we need to read to find out about our man and our car man. What does that all mean? What does that all mean to say our lower extremities were still trapped in the animalistic ways? What does that mean to say that because people see us trapped in the animalistic ways, they view us as monsters? That's right. That's what it says in the book. They view us as monsters, and monsters do not own property or land. So why do you think somebody would give you property or land in a treaty when you're still at your animalistic stage in the lower level? We have not researched and found out enough to find out that this Constitution was worded in a specific way to exclude you and disenfranchise you from all of your rights. That's right. You heard it here first in the Care to Read room. You can check it out by reading your amendments and your Constitution. It's written there. And there's several other books that also will break it down for you. I don't have time to give you a lesson in history. I'm giving you a topic of discussion on this surface. You will have to go in depth. And I pray that you have enough intelligence to go in depth. Now we have a guest in our room here, and I hope our guest would like to put his chat on and also be able to help me out a little bit. How are you doing, guest, this evening? Guest number 1739, how are you? Type something in the space so we can chat a bit. Thank you so very much for answering the clarion call and coming in to assist me. We're talking about, for the record, how words are very powerful and they can cast a spell. That's right. I'm a wordologist. I went back to school to get a second master's in the area of learning linguistics so that I can become a wordologist. I'm still coming into my own. Don't think I know everything, because I don't. I'm still working on it. I'm on a path. And looking at the Constitution, which I have looked at so many times and never thought anything of it, and I did not know what some of these words meant and what exactly it did to us. Well, it disenfranchised us, and I'm upset about it. It disenfranchised us to the point where we have no rights in the courtroom or rights to land. And the treaties that were written to all of the people of color were oftentimes always broken because, not because the Indians called them the pale-faced Indian givers, but because they did not know if we understood the letter of the law. But guess what? The Native Americans did, because they wrote a Confederate democracy peace treaty, which is better known as our Constitution. They wrote that long before any Americans sat down to the table to write anything. They wrote that, and someone came into the Iroquois establishment, and they discovered that they didn't have kings and queens to govern them, and that they were self-governed. So this made the pale-faced pilgrims puzzled. How is it that you're governing yourself? Do you have a federation of some sort? Who do these people answer to? Who's their leader? Who's their king? Well, they told them exactly how they managed and governed their community, and they laid out the laws for them, and the Iroquois had five other tribes under them. They became one of the great nations. They were so strong that they had the land even mapped out. They put out decrees of these five tribes of what geographical area they were supposed to protect. Some set in of those nations or states. Some were at the north, and one was at the south, and then there was one at the center. So therefore, they had watchmen on the wall, lookout men, who were working the land, so to speak, and governing. So they were very powerful. They weren't defeated as often as some of the other tribes were, because they felt that they had to write things and put things in writing. They even formalized a language, an alphabet system in the Cherokee tribes, and many of the other tribes soon learned that they must be able to communicate. So they put together their language system, and they knew that language was very important to the paleface, and they knew that they had to be able to communicate on his terms. And that's what I'm telling you people who are rioting out in the street. You have to be able to communicate on the general population's term. You have to know the king's language, in other words. So therefore, we are going to have to sit down at the table with brotherly love, brothers and sisters, and lay a constitution out that will be so sound and so timely that we can address all of the ills in our community. Our security problem, we have a vague security problem. We must patrol our own communities. I say we simply must control our own communities with our own security, providing jobs for our own people in our communities. Who better to protect their own communities than the people who live there? People who don't live in your community have no vested interest in protecting you. You're just one of those lower extremities, and you don't matter, and you don't have access to the law. So, once again, you need to get into your books. Pull out your books. There are books out there on street law. You need to pull those out so you can understand how you to govern yourself in a riot. What is a peaceful riot? How can you go about protesting without getting killed or getting put in jail? What are those things that you have a right to? Now, I want to say for the record, because we don't know that this law, in the national law, it actually disenfranchises us from a lot of laws that we should be having access to. So we want to govern ourselves, you say, only. Yes, we want to govern ourselves. And then we want to go to the next level. We not only want to govern ourselves, we want to write our own constitution to create a sovereignty of land. So we have sovereign rights to land, and we can purchase land and create our own trust so that we take our money and stockpile it and put it into a trust, and when we need to buy land, we can have access to it. And furthermore, the land that was existing there should not all actually have a price on it. Your forefathers gave you a human right entitling you to the land. Every person must have access to the land. I didn't say ownership. I said access. So how is it that someone that's of a pale skin can go and capture the land and claim it as his own and say his forefathers left it to him? It's just like trying to capture the air and follow it and box it up and sell it. He can't do that. So if this is happening, we must revisit this whole situation and say, has every man been offered some land? It is their birthright. And if they haven't, we must set the record straight. That's what the 14th Amendment was supposed to do. correct all the areas that were not displayed or given to those who are of a melanin descendant. So why hasn't that been done? And why are we still ratifying the Constitution every 10 years? So we still are not free. If someone failed to ratify it or forget to ratify, then we're back in the slavery again, and you can't vote. Did you know that? No, you didn't, because you're too busy getting a college degree saying that I've made it now and everyone's going to accept me. Well, Project 2019 has a project going on. And what we're doing now is we are assessing every day and statistics to see if we can get as many people enrolled in school and getting them back in college, this higher education and institution, because we feel that once they get the education, they have a better chance of securing a position, we think. But knowledge is power, and it should open doors for those people to not be discriminated as much, we think. But why is it still happening when we're still getting so many degrees and doors are still being shut in our face? Well, knowledge is power, isn't it, Almas? Yes. But knowledge is power, but you must understand that that power and that knowledge empowers you to have empowerment. And therefore, with all your degrees, you have failed to realize that people still will take advantage of you if you don't help yourself. Now, only people that's going to save African America is black. And the only people that are going to close the gap for disparity is the black man or is the non-Asiatic man. So you have got to get into position to start realizing these courtrooms are not going to tolerate us any further. We keep calling ourselves black and coming in and asking for justice. They say, well, your forefathers sold you out by giving you the name black, so you have no rights. Well, then let's get busy and let's pull those books out and realize that words cast a spell and words have power. Now, who are the best spellbinders than the Africans? Who were the ones that put the spell out in the first place that were able to put a spell down? Our forefathers, who were the ones that were the people that could come and tell you you had a spell on you? Our people, the Hoodoo people. Go to them and question them and say, is there a spell being put up on our society? And if so, how can we take it off? And what do we need to do to catch ourselves? The Hoodoo people are making themselves available to Caucasians. They go there more quickly than we do. And they get answers to their solutions before they make any decision about the year and what they're going to do. They consult with the so-called. They consult with the so-called person who has access to the spirit world. So it's very vital that you should understand that you going to college means nothing. Once you go to college, you've got to be able to use common sense and know that nobody's going to help you in your community and take care of you in your community but you. That's why these things are happening. How is it that if you were governing your community and you were manning your community like a watchman on the wall, you would have saw the possibility of a young man being out of order and you would have straightened it out? So let's straighten it out. Don't let somebody from the outside who don't love you come in and straighten it out, because they don't care how they handle it. They're going to handle it by any means necessary. And that's what we want to alleviate from. So you got your college degree now. So you're now summa cum laude. You got your BD, ED, EMHD. So what? I say unless we empower those degrees with some intellect, where we start designing sovereignty laws, confederacy laws, constitution laws, then we're no more better as if we were still in slavery and still on the plantation. How many of you still plantation Negroes who are just smiling and to get along? And you're going along to get along, knowing that things are wrong in the system against your people, and you won't say a word. You go along to get a check. Then stop it. You need to speak out against it. You need to be like the watchman on the wall and represent the community when things are not right for the benefit of the whole of the African-American race. There's too many things that are not right for the African-American, too many. And we're going along because we feel we've made it now, because now there's no more racism. Well, contrary, my friend, you are certainly wrong. It is a high-tech Lincoln in the worst way, and it's still rampantly going through our corporations and Fortune 500 companies and in our communities right in front of our eyes. It's got to stop. So the way you stop it, you make a deal with the system or the jurisdiction system that they cannot refuse. You make a deal that they either open up the Jewish ecosystem to let you in, or you will establish your own. And if you establish your own, it will be governed by you and no outsider. But see, we don't want to leave. We can't leave them. We think they got something that we don't have. You got to try loving yourself first. And separation may be the only way to go in order for us to identify with those of color and be more sensitive and be able to judge them fairly. But for someone that's going to someone else for help who is not sensitive to their plight, you will never get a square deal. So it's vital that we should understand that this Constitution has been laying in, and our forefathers have been calling us to ask us to dissect it. And if it doesn't fit our need, it's the 21st century. Let's upgrade it. We're going to have to upgrade ourselves in the churches and upgrade ourselves in the judiciary system, because if we don't, we're still working with black codes, and those black laws are the laws that put us in slavery in the first place. Then we're still up under a suppression and slavery. And I don't care how you look at it, unless you've updated those laws, you're still working with laws from slavery. And some people have to understand that these laws before the civil rights, they did not govern, they did not manage or walk the beat in our community. There were enough black laws on the books to keep us in control, where they did not have to come in with billy clubs and guns and tear gas, because they figured we would self-govern ourselves with all the laws already put in place. It wasn't until civil rights movement went in place that they stopped, incarcerated the Caucasian man, and they then began to start a massive monitoring system within the black communities, where they were monitoring them and now incarcerating them and twisting them down as low-hanging fruit that they could actually access easily. So the civil rights did us no good. It actually put us in armed danger, is what it did. So for those of you who are saying, with the marching we've done, look how far we've come, I want to tell you, you really need to reassess the situation. We haven't come any farther than slavery, because we're still connected to a high-tech lynching. And this is what's been going on, and nobody knows how to stop it. I'll tell you how to stop it. You intelligent intellects, quit playing the fool and cutting the fool and say, hey, that's it, we're calling the meeting. Why does Brother Polite, a hip-hopper who has all kinds of names called him, has enough sense to know that it's time for us to take back the community and do something and come about us with the sovereignty plan? Why is he the only one out talking about how to govern our marriages and how to govern our communities under a communal setting? Why is he the only one telling us the right thing to do? Is there not another man that has the same plight or understanding as Brother Polite that can stand with Brother Polite to accentuate this thing? I'm looking for some brothers to step out front who has a plan like this. Now, I understand that there's a couple of men that say they have plans. Why don't you step out front? Show us what your plan is. Lay it out. But we certainly got to create our own constitution. There are no if, ways, or buts, or two ways about it. Because this rampaging through our neighborhoods with guns and pistols, beating people down in the streets, it's not going to happen anymore. This has got to be the last straw. Because if we let this go on, it will continue to be worse, and then we will call for the tanks ourselves. So why don't we sit down to the tables and say, from henceforth, this point, we are going to establish our own security in our community. If we have to have our brothers watch the wall 24/7, we will handle our own problems. And we will create jobs in our own community. And our people are just going to have a red line. Stay in your community and work. Stay in your community and go to school. That's right. It worked for us before when we had to have red lines and segregation, when we had our own bus service, we had our own cab service, our own school institutions. It worked for us. Now all of a sudden we think we're getting the best because we're able to integrate into somebody else's community. Stay out of their community. Give them their community back. And let's fix up our community. That's where our communities lay waste. We have not put any attention on them or correcting them or building them up. We're so busy saying we don't want to take ownership of them, and that's exactly what we've done, not taking ownership of our own community. So they lay waste away, and we wonder why there's so many boarded up houses there when we don't have ownership of them. Well, I'm pretty riled up about this, as you know, because this is a social studies class. And everything I ever wanted to learn, I found out about it in social studies. Now, I'm a science teacher, but I was asked to teach social studies. And when I did, I was a little upset. But once I got in there, I started finding out things that I needed to know about how to conduct myself, about human rights and civil rights. Now, civil rights will not come to you unless you realize you have God-given human rights. And those are the rights that you're given by birth. When your mom and dad delivered you here, they left you with a set of rights, and that's the right to land, a right to have the ability to speak and to protest in quiet protest. So some of the things you had to learn, because if you knew this, you wouldn't be out there rioting and tearing things up. You would be quietly protesting. So we got to go back to the drawing board, because if you keep doing this and going out in an uproar and tearing things up, somebody else is going to get shot. And then somebody else is going to get shot. And then they're going to call for the tanks for real. And then we'll have a problem. Let us act as intelligent people and let us start going to the table and start negotiating. And let us write things down and put together referendum and federation. Let us start putting together materialistic things that they can see that are tangible. Nobody cares about you when you get angry. You're just another angry African-American that they'll shoot down. So what about it? Why can't we come to the table? I'm calling each and every one of you to be a part of Project 2019. We're a movement. The movement is, by the year of 2019, we'll assess the situation, see how many African Americans have enrolled in school, and see whether or not we've closed the gap of disparity. Because the more education people get, we know that knowledge is power. We want to empower you. We want to empower you in our human rights room where you can get more knowledge. And that's what it is about. Our movement is the bottom line, to empower someone so that when you're empowered, you can make collective decisions intellectually and communicate on a higher plane than a physical one. Remember, we want to come out of this reptilian stage and our lower level stage, which they see us as someone who is dead. Narcos, dead. Negro means narcos, dead. You're dead in the eyes of the law. Did you hear me? Negroes, dead in the eyes of the law. That means that you have no rights to the law, and the law does not acknowledge it. And you don't have to fully be dead for them to acknowledge it. They acknowledge this law because we put a name on ourselves called African Negroes. And Negroes and black means blotted out, and Negroes mean dead in the eyes of the law. You ought to know these things. You got your college degree, right? So what is it good for, hanging it up on the wall or using it for a dustpan? That's about as much good as going to do you unless you apply those laws to your own life. Now, it's vital that you should hear what I'm saying, because Project 2019 is no joke. For the Chuck Sanford envisioned that we would have a decree of putting black cabs back in our community, black bus service back in our community, black universities back in our community. Why black? Or let's say non-immigrant. We've got to realize that we have nothing now. We have nothing to hold on because we've given up everything to integrate. And now we say, well, we have no schools, and the schools are leaving. It's going to get worse. You're going to have other people coming in governing you because you've become so lukewarm. At one point, it took away the rulership because you were stiff-necked. Now you become lukewarm, and rulership is taken away from you again. So what must you do? Empower yourself through joining Project 2019.